Hello and welcome, Banter on the Rocks listeners. You can find every one of our weekly episodes on Apple Podcast and YouTube. Grab your favorite drink and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Banter on the Rocks. We have myself, Tim, and John here today, and we have another great episode for you. Today, we're going to talk about some NFL, NBA, get into some sports bettings, and feel, kind of like it's rigged at times. We'll certainly pose that question to each other and kind of round it off with the F1 Las Vegas series coming back. We saw that, I believe it was last year before. They're going to bring it back again and kind of discuss that topic and see how we felt about it and if we're excited for it to coming back. And then also before we continue getting into our drinks of the podcast here, just wanted to give that, friendly reminder of the podcast that we are brand ambassadors for Find the Good Brand. I'm still repping that sweater because it's only getting colder out here. They have great merch and in a great product that they have, and more importantly, even 10% of all proceeds go to Mental Health of America organization. So it's for a great cause, and all of your money, that 10% goes to a cause of helping mental health across America. So we all know it's important. Stay positive, find the good each and every day of your life. And on top of that, if you want to use code BANTER805, that's a 10% off of your purchase. So get that discount while providing 10% to mental health. So all good there. And now on to the episode itself. And this week, I am sporting a standard cup. This week, John, have the banter cup there, but mix it up a little bit because I wanted a little bit more of a pour. I got I'm sticking with the gin, still working on that bottle, and I'm going with like a berry lemonade mix. To be honest with you, we have a kind of like a chicken restaurant nearby and in like one of our outdoor malls over here called Starbird. Shout them out. They make their own lemonades there, and today they had like a berry infused lemonade. And so I mixed, I had, it was free refills. Don't judge. I brought it home and then poured that in here because I'm like, damn, this would taste really good with a mix. And here we are. And it is good. It's living up to the hype.
Awesome. No, that's cool. And I think that's sort of what like our banter drink of the week is. It's just trying new things, things we try outside. And hey, maybe we have to get one of those free refills to bring it back and try it with a, one of our mixed drinks, one of our main drinks, main vodka, tequila, gin, whiskey, whatever it is. So awesome. No, today, same as you, finishing. I think I'm at the very end of my tequila, so I have tequila and just some Jamaica. Something cooling, refreshing. Always tastes good. So that's what I'm sticking with. I gotta start finding new things. So if you guys know anything new, things to try, new drinks that come out too, just let us know, because like I said, we'll go out there and buy some. I think what I want to start switching it up is going to Whole Foods and just buying some random beers and trying that on the show, just because
Absolutely.
they're delicious.
We actually got a Total Wine really close to us, and their assortment is great. So I'll jump in there and I'll get a couple of like the regular stuff I'm used to, but then I'll start looking at like all these random ones, and if they look good, I'm gonna try it. So I'm with you on that. It's a fun game. It's a fun game, John.
It's a very fun game. But we'll get started with the episode. But before we get into our topics, one of the topics I want to bring up is Tim holding up his bet. And if you guys could see from his hat, he has his LA hat. It's not the typical, blue that we, true Dodger fans wear, but still, it represents the Dodgers, LA. And how was that experience, Tim?
Oh boy. It was between this hat and like a classic Dodger hat. But I was thinking about the future here and make it more of an investment, and I can figure out a tan hat a little bit better with some outfits. So, but still repping the symbol here, the Doyers, paying my bets. I'm a man of my word. So, never thought I'd see the day of doing this, but here I
No.
am. Shout out, Dad. I know that you specifically told me you didn't want to see me wear this, so you could probably skip this episode if you'd like. But that I was actually going to mention it earlier too, John, so thank you for bringing that up. It was a big, reference as to why I have a heavy pour. So here you go. Yep.
No worries. Yeah, sometimes when you gotta buy those opposite teams, you might need that heavy pour, something to numb it
Oh, for
out.
sure. And I feel like I'm paying it a little bit more because, I'm up here in the Bay Area. I go into a Bay Area mall where they have, A's, still some A's, Giants, Niners, Warriors, and I'm going in there for a Dodger hat.
For a
So
daughter.
it's even worse,
Yeah. No, but no, kudos to you for sticking to it. I know some people may have backed out just because it's a little hard, but I
For
appreciate you
sure.
keeping your word and sort of go with that. You lost a bet, we rant about stuff a little bit, and I think this week in the NFL, I think we both want to rant about our teams. We both 49ers Ravens lost this week. I think we're a little frustrated. Some people at work today mentioned, like, oh, how's the Ravens game? I'm like, don't talk to me about it. I don't want to talk about it right now. Let me save it for the pod, because it's just tough. But like I said, that's part of football. That's part of the game. I think that's why we enjoy it. But as fans, we're always going to have our feelings. And I could start with my Ravens. For us, defense, man. This defense, we're supposed to be one of the top teams. And our defense can't stop the, those big plays. This past weekend, George Pickens just destroying us. The last weekend, Ja'Marr Chase just putting up record number catches, touchdowns against us, even taunting us, in that fourth quarter after that long, pass. What I really feel is like we need to shore up this defense. Our front line, we could stop the run, but the pass is where we're struggling. And if we don't do something right now, we aren't gonna even win in the playoffs. Look at the Bills, look at the Chiefs, look at the Lions, what they did this past week. And those are teams that are just are passing. And if we can't control that, no matter how good our offense is, Derrick Henry, another touchdown. I think he's had a touchdown every single game so far this season.
Yep.
We do well, but our defense is struggling. Last week to the Bengals, we gave up 470 yards. This week to the Steelers, 303, and they scored no touchdowns, and we still lost. Like, how does that happen? To the Browns, 401 yards. The Browns, out of all people, Jameis Winston, really? And then the Bucks, 481. Baker Mayfield. I think we've talked about Baker. We're very, high on him right now. He's playing great football, but against a team that's supposed to be the, one of the favorites for the Super Bowl, I think it's just, I'm pretty pissed off. Like I said, our old defense, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Holdinata, all these people, they're probably a little like, what the hell is going on with this Ravens defense? But I don't know. What have you seen, Tim, for my Ravens? What do we need?
Yeah, it's that secondary. It's super beatable, and it's a big reason as to why you guys lost the game against the Browns. Ja'Marr Chase had a career day against you guys, as you mentioned. It's just it's the weakest part. It's a long distance from what you guys used to be back in the day with your defense, and even over the last few years, it's kind of shocking to see because I wasn't really. I know you guys, I believe, lost a few pieces on your defense altogether. And it was just, I know Patrick Queen was one, and seeing him on the opposite sideline get a fumble recovery this past weekend was probably kind of brutal.
It was.
And yeah, I just feel like something's definitely missing. And maybe that's the breaking point where the offense can't always do absolutely everything to keep up with what the defense is giving up on their end. So, I don't know. That's a tough little thing to solve. I know Derrick Henry had his first fumble in God knows how long, 3 years. And he's still tearing it up. Like you said, he's still scoring. And I don't know, Lamar, those divisional games are just brutal on him. And it's, yeah, a tough thing to play out. But on a bright note, because I've been kind of tracking this guy since you guys drafted him, and I feel like the confidence in this guy has gone through the roof with Rashad Bateman. That dude is catching hospital balls at
He
times,
is.
that Lamar's throwing him. So that's just a long, huge change from where he started, because he was supposed to be, just a great possession wide receiver and, catching everything his way because he did such a great job of it in college. But when he was drafted, he was just kept dropping, and that just has been not a thing anymore. And that's pretty cool to see. So you guys still have the elements, but that secondary is tough.
No, it is, and I'm just like, what do what can we do? There's not much, because we have good players in our secondary. It's just they got to get together. I don't know if they're just trying to make some big plays, which I get everybody wants to do, but it's not gonna help. And yeah, you mentioned Rashad Bateman. I think he's finally breaking out. I think he had a first. The first few years, very tough. I think having Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, even Deontay Johnson now, on the team, it's really giving him more confident, not being that go-to guy. Because when he was that for high draft pick, he was struggling. And one player that sort of is reminding me of him right now, doing it a little quicker, is Quentin Johnson from the Chargers. He's been playing a lot better after last year. I think last year we were all making fun of him, couldn't catch balls. But this year he's put it up a notch. Who knows if that's the Harbaugh effect. I think we're gonna have Fidel on our podcast soon, so he could talk a little bit about his Chargers. But that he reminds me of Rashad Bateman. Hopefully great player. In college, and hopefully they could show it in the NFL. And I think my last little rant with the Ravens, Justin Tucker is really frustrating me. One of our best players, and just I don't know if he's just losing that automatic, kicking, missing two field goal attempts against the Steelers. Making both of those, we would have won the game. Against the Bengals, missing that extra point, and I think my one question to you, Tim, and then I'll answer for myself, is in the Hall of Fame, there's only five kickers. I looked it up today that have gotten into the Hall of Fame. I always felt like Justin Tucker was one that was sort of heading that way. But if he continues with this trend, missing some of these shot kicks, do you feel like that'll affect his chances of getting into the Hall of Fame?
It's a super valid question, because that's a thing I often think of, is players who maybe play themselves out of the Hall of Fame. Could be Justin Tucker. He is only 34. I was thinking he was much older than that for some reason. So the tail off is kind of happening earlier than you'd think. But one player that really comes to mind with that as like maybe a kicker comp would be Russell Wilson. Over the last few years, has he played himself out of going to the Hall of Fame versus just what he had started with Pete Carroll and the Seahawks? But again, it seems like he's kind of coming back this year, which is cool to see. But I think you can. I honestly think you can play yourself out of the Hall of Fame if he continues to have seasons like this, or if the Ravens, for example, don't say like, "Hey, dude, like it just isn't there anymore. We'd like to, retire your jersey in the future, blah, 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 do something like that, have a good little parting." But maybe that's a way that he could kind of save face with things, because there is a history there. The other thing is they cut him, he goes to a different team,
And
continues to
comes
play mediocre, and then, yeah, I don't think he's in. That's just my feel for things. As of right now, I think he's still a Hall of Famer, but that legacy's teetering. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. Like, I brought up the question just because I was interested what you were thinking. But in my opinion, he's still a Hall of Famer. I think, yeah, if he starts having more games like this, that legacy is going to start getting down. That potential for making the Hall of Fame may go down, because he was, setting, a lot of history making kicks, doing a lot of things. And I know when we drafted him, he was coming out of Texas. I was really excited for him. I was like, okay, now we have a great kicker that can, be, take us to many places. And, he has taken us, we've gotten one Super Bowl with him, but this year it seems like he's falling off. I hope he just make changes it. Because the one thing I've always thought with kickers, and we've seen a lot with Pat McAfee, Saturday, the Saturday morning football, having college kids kick it, to be a kicker in the NFL, you need to have ice in your veins. You can't let things like this affect you, because it's one of the easier positions, you could say, because you don't have to hit much, but you're under so much pressure. And I think Justin Tucker still might have it, but I hope he doesn't lose it, because once you lose that ice in your veins, you just go downhill from there. Once you lose that confidence, it's over. So I'm hoping he turns it around. I'm hoping that this Ravens team figures it out, the defense figures it out, because we have such a great team, and we can win the Super Bowl. I think we have all the great pieces. We just got to put it together on defense.
For
But
sure.
that's my little rant with the Ravens. I think we go into the 49ers. I know one of them is also a kicker,
Yeah. I can say at least he made them this week, you
Yeah,
know.
he
It's
did.
but maybe that's I don't know. That's honestly at this point I would have had a different story after the Bucks game, but I mean, he only chipped a 33 yarder in, you know, it's not like he really had to drop a whole lot, but now you kind of feel the pain of having a kicker kind of choke a lead away or maybe not provide enough of a lead. And it's the same exact thing with Moody. And I know I put out a couple meme videos of him that I thought were hilarious. So maybe one day he'll reach him and see him, or he just won't give a fuck. But yeah, like I said, worst of my worries right now, to be honest with you. Special teams altogether is pretty trash for us. I'm being perfectly honest. We had a muffed kick this past week. You know, just even punting, Wisnowski's out right now. And, you know, we've gone through a cycle of kickers when Moody went down for the injury, then Moody comes back. We still can't kick field goals. You know, it's almost like the backups, the people that we signed as free agents did a little bit better in the clutch when we needed them. But yeah, you know, special teams has got awful. Next to that is just coaching in general. What the hell is Shanahan doing? I don't know. I have no idea. You know, we get into these, you know, these pockets where we have leads late in games, especially divisional games. The best ones, of course, to lose close, you know. did it to the Rams. Why not do it again with the Arizona, and then let's do it again with Seahawks now. It's absolutely brutal. And one big thing for me is I feel like late in games, we call way too many passes. I just honest to God, I feel like we do that too much. We have CMC back, handed the ball off to him 19 times, which is great. But then you have Mason, who's perfectly healthy and fresh legs. Mix him in more. He had two carries for 13 yards, which is a great average. I think his long was 8. Why not mix him in more than just twice? Debo isn't really getting, I think he's averaging like less than 3 yards a carry, like 2.9 yards a carry. It's the lowest in his career. So kind of put him to the side, but where's Garendo? Garendo hasn't really been getting anything. You know, same thing with Mason, fresh legs. Like I just don't get why, because CMC's back and I feel like every fan wants to see him eased in and not pushed in, you know, to a fire. It's like mix the ball around a little bit. You know, it's we have the fresh legs, we can run clock, and that's the biggest thing is the passes obviously aren't being completed. You know, a little bit that's on Purdy. We're without Kittle and Ayuk obviously right now, and you know, that obviously makes things a little bit rougher, but I don't know. We choke these leads away because we don't burn clock. We don't burn the other team's timeouts. They can march down the field. Then when they do march down the field, we have late game penalties that are just brutal to witness. We did it against the Bucks. They cruised down the fields repeatedly. They had, you know, we held Baker's arm and he still completed that pass, which was just a ridiculous play. And this past week we did the same exact crap over again. And it's just I just don't know if you look at stats, I said this back when we lost to the Rams. You look at the stats of the end of the game. It's like, how did we lose? We converted 7-11 third down conversions. It's just, I guess Shanahan put it a decent way by saying we get these penalties that just burn drives. And another thing he said was, we're really pissed off today. It's like, okay, how many games do you have to lose and get pissed off at to finally turn it around? It's 5 games now. Like, when is the pissed off gonna work? And he kept on mentioning the players, the guys are pissed off. It's like, are you pissed off, Kyle? Because you should be. Like your play calling can be trash. Obviously, we need help. Obviously, you over-scheme yourself. I was listening to it on the radio for part of the afternoon, and they tried this like end around. I was listening, and like it was funny. They like announced how the ball went back and forth, juggled between hands, and then like, and it only ended up for 1 yard. It's like you're over-scheming yourself. You have Christian McCaffrey run through, just run forward. That's it. I don't know, but I'm pretty agitated, as you can see, because this team is better than this, and I'm not losing hope. Obviously, I'm always going to be a fan, but man, it's a really hard thing to put your heart into and root for, and then the letdown is insane. And before, I finish here, John, and I want to hear your thoughts on what you see as a team for us. I did ask Estevan if he wanted a quote for the pod, and he said, I would say he's a choking hazard, but at this point, it's just expected from him now. The league has caught on to his play calling, and I completely agree with that stupid end around BS, and it goes for one freaking yard. Just play traditional football, man. Just get it done. Good Lord. And then, Jimbo, yeah, we had him on as well, and he just told me about how our next couple of games are rough. We have Green Bay, which is winnable for us, I feel like. And then Buffalo, that's going to be really tough. And we're at Green Bay, then Buffalo. So we'll see if we're in the elements too. But John, that's my rant. I felt like I kept it modest. What are you seeing out of those Niners?
I think they just need to keep it simple. They need to keep it to what they're playing. Like you say, stick to the run. Their defense needs to get a little bit better as well. Letting up those passes, letting Geno Smith run it in for a touchdown. I don't think that's the Niner way. I think their defense is a lot better. So I think we're both seeing our team struggling, trying to play a little fa too fancy. I've always said the same about the Ravens is keep to what the run game. That's our bread and butter. I know Lamar could throw. I know Lamar's a lot more accurate. He has that deep ball, but we got Derrick Henry. We have Lamar Jackson, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell. Like, I'm really high on him. Use those players, throw, set up that run game and then do the play action. That's how we're going to get our, air yards. I think it's the same with the 49ers. Use that run game. Use McCaffrey. Use Mason. Use Garindo. You guys have three great running backs that change of pace will really throw off your defense. And once you get that run game started, I think Brock Purdy's a lot more successful. I think he has struggled. I think he did struggle a lot. Kittle, I think, is his big safety blanket. I think the tight end is a safety blanket for a lot of these players, but keeping it simple. And I think the other thing with today's game that I sort of saw, and we've talked about it before, analytics. I hate analytics. I hate people looking at the percentages of let's go for it when you could kick a field goal, get 3 points, because then we've seen it by the end of the game, you're losing by less than a field goal. When the Bengals did it last week, when they were going for it, where McPherson, he's pretty automatic as well. He could have gotten them so many points where they didn't have to worry about going into overtime. Today, Cowboys did it, what was that, at the 2 yard line, with a yard to go, and they missed it. Like, analytics, stop playing too fancy, just play regular football, stick to your bread and butter. I think that's what the Niners have to do. Looking at where they're at their division, it sucks to say they're last in the NFC West, even though the record's tied with Seattle and the Rams. But looking at how the Rams are playing, looking at how Arizona's playing, it's a little concerning because it's going to be a lot of tough games to just make the playoffs and the wild card. But I think if you guys make the wild card, get back to your basics, you guys have a potential to make a good run. But it's like you said, there's a lot of tough games coming up, and that you guys need a win just to be able to stay in it. Because like I said, the Rams with Nacua back, Cup, just playing well, and Matt Stafford, I think we talked about him as a possible trade candidate. He's looking like the old Matt Stafford, just slinging it, getting those touchdowns, those yards. It's going to be a tough division for you guys. So that's what I think of the Niners. I always root for them because you're my co-host. If we play each other, I'm not going to root for you, but it's a little tough. But we'll see what happens. Like I say, we're getting to the nitty-gritty of these teams need to start winning. And I think both of our teams, we struggled this past week. I think we want to see a change from them to feel a little bit better going into the playoffs, but there's a lot of tough teams out there.
For sure. Yeah. And, one thing I was kind of thinking about this past weekend, and you mentioned it with our division, as there's some good elements to it, but we're all still pretty bunched together right now. Obviously, Arizona has the best chance and they're outperforming their expectations, but I feel like they still have at least kind of kept us in it in a way. So it's a pretty even division. It's going to be really close down the line. And I don't know. We just can't keep playing the same football we are right now. But, I think the Ravens are kind of in a similar situation. Their division has played down, and you guys are, in the heart of it, except for the Steelers, obviously. That's a tough, it's a tough battle there. But in general, that kind of moves us right along into, what teams, John, do you feel like around the league have the best chance at maybe a playoff berth and also Super Bowl, bound at this point?
Yeah, the teams, I think, I have three, and one of them doesn't even include my Ravens because of our defense. But the Lions, the way they showed up this past week, I think Jon Gruden had a good comment of, Jared Goff had a horrible game the week before. What was it, like four or five picks, but he came back just slinging it, so many touchdowns, like that one, a high scoring game. So I still think the Lions are a threat. The Bills, the way they play, Josh Allen, you could just never count him out. We thought without Stephon Diggs that they weren't going to be too well, but Josh Allen's keeping them alive. These wide receivers are, he's making a way for this team to win. And then I still have to have the Chiefs, even though they lost. It's Patrick Mahomes. You can't count out the Chiefs until either Patrick Mahomes isn't playing anymore or they're just losing a bunch of games. So the Chiefs always have to be discussed until they're out of the playoffs. So those are the three that sort of are my favorites. Minnesota's sort of, declining, I think, for me. I think they were our favorite, but I sort of want to see how they end up these next few weeks. They have a lot to do. Same with Washington. Washington started off hot. Jaden Daniels started off hot. Don't see them doing as well. I think one of the surprising teams that could get in that we probably didn't think we're going to get in at the beginning of the season are the Chargers. Harbaugh's making a change. Like I said, the wide receivers, a lot of unknowns. They lost Keenan Allen, but they're still producing. Justin Herbert's looking like that top QB, so I think the Chargers are one of my surprise teams to get in, after the first few weeks of the NFL. What about you, Tim? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't have much differentiating thoughts on your top three. Buffalo looks great. Obviously, being America's team this past week, taking that in the Chiefs, that was great to see. I saw a lot of great Josh Allen edits as well with that, game-winning run he had there at the end. It was pretty stellar looking. Besides that, Detroit just looks arguably unbeatable. I just feel like they're in such a good groove at both ends of the ball. Nobody can score on them very effectively. They can use, their players in so many different ways on the offensive end.
Yeah.
They have two just great running backs, and I love a good solid running back tandem because it's just fresh legs galore,
Yes.
usually. So that's, best in the league right there. And yeah, and then outside of that, Kansas City, of course, is going to be a team that's in the mix. And it was great to see them lose. And I do feel like, they definitely seem beatable, and I feel like they have all year. I know you brought up just the running thing. We go back to of how lucky they are. I saw a stat today that said if I believe possessions had an opposite effect that or a I guess ending, I think it was like second half possessions had an opposite effect where teams would end up. And I think that the Chiefs would be 2-8 right now if that were the case. And teams like the Niners, I think, would be like 8-2, and most of the teams kind of stayed where they're at. A couple teams kind of flipped the charts, but in general, the Chiefs were the biggest flip. They went to the bottom, and I prefacing that, they do seem beatable. Chargers is a great point. Harbaugh's gotten something good going. It's only his first year there, so the defense looks totally different. You have a guy like Quentin Johnson, who you mentioned, is finally catching the ball, and we've seen a lot more of Herbert. Dude's throwing it. He's running effectively as well. But they're a well-oiled machine at this point, and they're playing great ball. But another team in that same stinking division, Denver, Bo
Denver.
Nix is doing way better than I thought he was going
Yes.
to. That dude is, he looks confident. Like, the dude's slinging it, and he is not scared to make any pass. And maybe
No.
that's why he's been successful. And he can run the ball when he has to. He's just been super effective, and that defense is still really, really good. So, and they proved it this past weekend. So, yeah, that kind of rounds it off. Pittsburgh, I know the record shows that they're a solid team right now, but come playoff time, I don't think in the playoffs you're winning off of field goals like that. I think the game's a little different. Baltimore, I think that they're still in there, but again, you prefaced it, that secondary is going to be tough. So, yeah, that's really it. Disappointing team is Cincinnati. I'll keep that going. At this point, I think their playoff hopes are gone. And I know every week's a must win, but that one was really, really must win. And they made a late comeback, but still couldn't get it done. So, in moving on to teams that are just big disappointments, the Jets,
The Jets.
what do you think they're going to do with Aaron Rodgers, John? And what do you think was the issue with that organization? Or is, I
What I
should
think
say.
they're what I think they're going to do with Aaron Rodgers, I think they're still going to play him, even though I think he needs to be benched. I think Aaron Rodgers, great player, Hall of Fame player. He will, I think he will be going into the Hall of Fame, but where he's at right now, I don't know what it is, if it's a motivation, if it's a will to even want to play, if he's just doing it just to show that he still can. But this team, they're just not playing well. They have a great offense. Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, he has those playmakers, and he, what was it? I forget, it was the first quarter, they barely got any yards, on the offense this past week. And one of the things I put is, since firing Robert Saleh, 1-5 hasn't made a difference. With Saleh, 2-3. Yeah, not a great record, but still, that defense is a great defense. And since Saleh has left, they haven't been there. And who knows if it's because Saleh is gone, that was their guy, that's who they trusted. I don't know. Like with Aaron Rodgers, I think if it was any other QB in the league, they'd be getting benched. We saw it last year with Zach Wilson. He got benched for playing games like this. And I don't think, I don't think Zach Wilson's a great quarterback, but I think there's something wrong with the organization just in general, because they're not playing well when they should be one of these top teams in the AFC East, but they're last. or second to last. The Patriots are playing some better football right now, and I think the Patriots are a better team than the Jets. So I think it's the organization. I think we've seen a lot of organizations like this, the Browns, the Panthers. There's a lot. But I think it's the organization, the coaching, just a toxic environment, and it's just Aaron Rodgers. I think they need to make a switch, but I don't think they will because they've invested money in him.
Yeah, I think that's all super valid points. And Aaron Rodgers gets away with it, like you said, because he's Aaron Rodgers. And it's a shame. It just seems like he wants to bring his buddies in and ride out this last few years of his career with just his friends being nearby. It's just extreme dysfunction in just the organization as a whole. And quite frankly, you're right. He should be benched. And there's not a whole lot to turn to on that team right now, but it's the change they need. And then he needs to hang it up because nothing's going to get better. It's going to be the same. He had weapons. They traded away a weapon with Mike Williams, who he didn't even utilize. I'm sure Williams is really happy to be leaving and going to an 8-2 team. So yeah, and it's a shame because you have guys like Breece Hall, Braylon Allen looked really good to start off the year, and it's just dissipated into nothing. So, good riddance to Aaron Rodgers' career. I was kind of when the trade first happened to the Jets, it just seemed like something that wasn't even going to be all that good because his last couple of seasons in Green Bay weren't even that great. So I don't know. I don't see a whole lot turning around. That division's not, as long as Josh Allen's there, it's not going to happen. So.
It's a tough division. Miami, with Tua back, they're playing a lot better. They're looking like the old Dolphins. So, and like I mentioned,
Definitely.
New England, Drake May's playing a lot better than the beginning of the season. So that's a team. This year, I don't think they're going to make too much of noise in the AFC East, but I think next year they could be a team to come up. But we sort of talked about it with Justin Tucker, Hall of Fame. Aaron Rodgers, I think we could agree he will be in the Hall of Fame, but because of how he's ending this last season, do you think he still will be a first ballot Hall of Fame, or do you think he might have to wait a few years because of his numbers, how poorly he's playing?
That's tough. I do think he's going to be first ballot still. I hate to say it, if I were voting, it wouldn't be me, but I think he will be, just given the arm talent he's had, the noise he's brought to the NFL, to a very traditional, historical franchise like the Green Bay Packers. I think that he will be, falling into a first ballot Hall of Fame spot. So, again, probably not a guy that can play himself out of the Hall of Fame, but he's certainly on his way. In general, that's just kind of how I feel. What do you think, John?
I think the same. I want to say, if he plays a few more years, trying to bring back what he used to have, it could affect him a bit. But like you said, the legacy he built in Green Bay, what he brought to the Packers, to that franchise, it's always been historic. I think that just automatically makes him a first ballot, even though I think in general they should be looking at a lot of other things other than just the name, the organization they play for. But yeah, I think he'll be a first ballot. But I was just curious of your thoughts, seeing how poorly he's been playing the last few years. So, and sort of going into these award season, towards the end of the season, college football and the Heisman watch, it's heating up. We're getting close to the college football playoff, and the top picks right now for Heisman, I think number one, Travis Hunter. That guy's just a baller playing both sides of the field, wide receiver, catching amazing catches, and then at cornerback, I think he's probably the number one. I have Ashton Jeantie still at number two. He's still just putting up those numbers, just bulldozing, taking Boise, to win games. And then I put Dillon Gabriel at number three. He's taking that Oregon team undefeated still. They need to play a little bit better if they want to win the national championship, just because they have struggled these last few games, but still undefeated, so kudos to them. But I have him at three, and then I have Cam Ward at four. I think the loss he took might have affected him a little bit, but still great arm talent, slinging it. I think he's only had one poor game this season so far in his college football career. So, but a lot of that could change week by week. Oregon gets upset, Dylan Gabriel sort of gets out of the Heisman talk, and someone else comes up. So, that's sort of my Heisman watch, what I've seen. I've been watching a lot more college football, so it's been fun to watch.
For sure. Yeah, mine doesn't differ too much from you, John. Same thing, Travis Hunter, because he's doing it on both sides of the ball. He's been super consistent, played incredibly well up to this point, and he's going to be the top draft pick in this coming draft most likely. So, yep, him at number one. Ashton Jeancey still tearing it up. That dude is just an absolute beast. So I'm really curious to see with these teams that need a running game. I know we've talked about Cowboys, we've talked about probably even the Raiders might be looking at getting running back. So be interesting to see where he ends up. And my three is going to be Cam Ward. I think that he still, even with that loss, as just an individual talent, has just been, a menace, to put it lightly. And he just makes it look so casual. I like how he's like out there, but like he's operating slow-mo when everybody else is just going hostile around him. So confidence is key. And that guy, he's thrown like, I believe it's 32 touchdowns this year. He's thrown for almost 3,500 yards. I mean, good Lord. Dude's tearing it up. So, and then, my four would then be Dylan Gabriel, who kind of a close win against Wisconsin, which is kind of surprising to see because that's, a team you'd think he'd win pretty handily these days. But still having a great season altogether, super accurate passer. I'm curious to see how a lefty quarterback like himself is going to translate into the NFL and where he goes draft wise. I think a guy like Cam Ward will obviously go before him, but I'm curious to see how that shakes out. Yeah, and that's pretty much, rounding it out for me. I feel like guys like Jalen Milroe have kind of fallen behind because Bama is kind of fallen off.
They're not the old Bama we're used to.
No. Definitely not, to put it lightly. But it's getting to be that time of year. It's crunch time for a lot of these Heisman guys. So, I'm interested to see how it ends up.
No, there's been some good games, some good, high ranking teams playing each other. So, I'm excited to see the rest of this college football season. Like I say, it's a fun time to watch, football, because it's Saturday, college football, Sunday, NFL. So that's our Heisman watch. And then what's playing probably every day, almost every day, some days we get a break, is the NBA. And there's been a lot of NBA going on a few weeks now. And just, Tim, for you, teams and even players that are just looking great, that are sort of showing up that you really weren't thinking were gonna perform as well. Who do you got?
But yeah, John, to answer your question, I'll start off with my Warriors. I think that we're looking really, really good. I keep on referencing my prediction because, it's just what I do, John. But, just as a hopeful fan, of course, I thought we looked a lot better roster wise, and it's proving so. We're at the top of the West currently. I'd have to double check if we ended up squeaking out a win. We're playing against your Clippers tonight,
You
so
guys
it
got
was
a
already a close game.
loss. FY.
Dang, yeah, by three. Of course, it was a close little squeaker there. And in general, though, I feel like, Clippers are another team that, is obviously pretty solid, kind of teetering at 500, but that's without Kawhi. So you guys are still, hanging in there anyways. But, 10-3, I'll take it with the Warriors. And, it doesn't come easy. A lot of these games, it's a close game at the end, or we're coming back and taking a victory. At times it feels like they take a card out of what the Niners do and let teams back in it late. And we've done that over the last few seasons. So we're not kind of new to it. Other teams around the league, Bucks look awful. And they barely won tonight, but 5-9. I think they were 3-9. So they're on a little bit of a win streak now. But yeah, they're not good. I kind of a team that I feel like could end up if they get their flow going a little bit better. I think Chicago has some really good talent on it. I like their addition of Josh Giddey. I think that he's a great role player. And that team's kind of putting things together. Detroit Pistons seems like they already have more wins than they've had in the last 3 years combined at seven. So, they're kind of coming together. And I mean, we can't downplay, what the Cavaliers have done. They're what, 15 and 0 now? Sets a franchise record. Obviously, if they keep this up, they're going to look at breaking the Warriors record. And shout out Kenny Atkinson. He was a coach for the Warriors for years and helped us find so much success here. So to be honest with you, I'm absolutely thrilled for the guy because, he's come out of our franchise and now he's blowing it away with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, yeah, that's what I have for teams. What do you think, John?
I have all those teams. One team I have that I've liked the way they've been playing, the Rockets. They're 10 and 5. They've been playing well. Alperen Sengun, solid player for the Rockets, averaging 17.5 points, 11.5 rebounds, 4.9 assists. Great player. I think it's that type of player that they probably needed, that big guy. I see a lot of these, centers, power forwards becoming the focal points of their team, like the Jokic, and the Nuggets. So I have him as, a player that I've been really liking to watch. I have Buddy Hield as well. I think he's been doing great for the Warriors, 17.7 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.9 assists, shooting 46.9% from the 3-point line. Like you mentioned, no more Splash Bros now. What was it, Splash Buddies or
Splash Buddies now. Yeah.
Splash Buddies? So
It's a great nickname.
I think that was a great addition. And I saw somewhere, the Warriors tried to make trades this past season, for like a PG, Paul George and stuff. And Buddy Hield is doing so much better than all these players that they try to get. And the great thing for the Warriors is you guys kept your draft assets. You have your future, so you're not giving it up for a player that you're hoping is going to do well. Where you guys signed Buddy Hield, he's doing what he needs to do for your team. So that's another player. And then for my Clippers, Norman Powell, he's just been
Oh yeah.
lighting it up. 23.3 points a game, 3.2 rebounds, 2.5 assists, also shooting 46.9% from the three, so I know he's getting probably a lot more playing time without Kawhi, but that's a great asset to have once Kawhi that does come back to be able to give him those breaks. Because I think one of the other things I wanted to talk about with the NBA is injuries. There's a lot of injuries happening right now. A lot of people are out, a lot of big names, Kawhi, Ja Morant with the Grizzlies, been injured for a few games. Zion Williamson, I feel like that's a name we always talk about every season, being out extended amount of time. Chet Holmgren, OKC, Paolo Banchero for the Magic, and even Kevin Durant right now missing a few games for the Suns. So there's been a lot of injuries, and I'm curious what's going on. And sometimes we discussed it a little bit a few weeks ago when we talked about load management. And I think load managing is one of the factors because, like I said, I've always felt you need to play the games to just build up your stamina, build up that strength, that endurance. Because if when you take breaks, you get cold, your muscles get cold, and then you try to go back to play a fast game, it's where you're going to get hurt. So I feel like load management may be leading to a little bit of this, but it's also just bad luck, landing on someone's foot, twisting your ankle. There's nothing you can do about that. So that's who I sort of have as, those top players coming up, surprising players, top teams. And but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just like a tough riddle to solve. And I know that they eliminated a lot of the back-to-backs. And yeah, obviously, it hasn't been working a whole lot. And I think it gets more pronounced with all of these big names getting injured at the same time. And, it can be really detrimental to teams. And clearly, the load management isn't working for a team like the 76ers. They're 2-11. They just got beat off their backsides tonight. Lost by 17 to the Miami Heat. They have one bright star there, and it's Mr. McCain, who, dancing up a storm. And when he comes into the game, he scored 20 tonight off of 8 of 16 shooting. Kid's been great. Like, he's been super duper solid. Used him in a player bet, a prop bet the other day, and I think I chose him to get like 15 and a half for the game. I think he had like over 20 at the halftime. So kid's been just balling, and it's great to see that. But you have a guy like Paul George on that same roster, and Embiid played tonight as well. Like, how do you have basically all of your main starters and you're still 2-11, losing by 17 to a team that has played below average as well with the Miami Heat? I don't know. That's rough. And it's, like I said, it's a tough riddle to solve. Is it more breaks? Is it not enough breaks? Or is it, too much breaks? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to solve it, but maybe the offseason needs to be taken a little bit differently too, because a lot of these players aren't the ones who were competing in the Olympics. I know KD did, obviously, but I don't know. I don't know. But we'll see. Maybe they'll come out with something different in medicine that will help this. And yeah, I don't know. Especially because it's younger stars too. Chet Holmgren is one notably where I know he's like made of twigs in a way.
He
He's a
looks like he
super
is.
league. Yeah. He's kind of a big stick figure out there. Obviously a really good basketball player, but KD's another one. It's like, I don't know if putting on weight maybe helps a little bit as well, but then you run into a guy like Zion, puts on too much weight and that
Too
dude's
much,
always
right?
hurt. And then this offseason he loses weight and he looked pretty cut, but here we are again. That dude's just, he's a what could have been. He's kind of like what's his face that was drafted back on Portland back in the day, over KD.
Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. Yep. Obviously not to that extent, but I mean, Greg Oden, what could have been? It's kind of the same thing with
Zion.
Zion. So kind of a rough thing to see. We'll see if it changes. And kind of in that mix, of maybe not necessarily injuries, but kind of drama ensuing. Over the weekend, we had Klay's return to the Warriors, or I guess it was last week, and they had a great, return for him. He came back. They did the Captain Klay hats to everybody. Those look sick. Everybody was rocking them. So every fan in attendance got it and kind of got that really nice reunion. It was good to see. Obviously, we miss Klay dearly. It was kind of an end we kind of all saw coming, but didn't want to believe it. And we kind of got some extra drama on the side. And of course, it came out of the mouth of Draymond Green and his wonderful podcast, which is very entertaining as well, because you get stuff like this. Don't tell him, I guess, anything secretive, but Draymond, he spilled the beans about, I guess, Klay ignoring a text from Steph before the game. And I guess Steph was reaching out to him. I believe it was regarding, some opening speeches he wanted to do. And I think at the last minute he decided not to do it, because he wanted to focus on the game itself. And I think we saw like NBA Finals Steph kind of come out, because the game he had was just ridiculous.
It was.
And and he went off. And you could tell he was playing with, something on his mind, I felt like. And this made sense. So Klay ignoring Steph's text hit him, right where it hurts. And it's a bummer because obviously they built careers off of each other and kind of excelled. But what are your thoughts on, I guess, teammates talking about teammates John and that whole situation?
I think it shouldn't be happening even, past teammates. I think that's like, something sacred you have in the locker room, have as that brotherhood, because Klay, Draymond, Steph, they went through so much. They played for so many years and all those secrets, and now it's like, Klay's gonna be a little bit more bothered because it's like, you can't keep your mouth shut, Draymond. Like, come on, like, let me do my thing. You guys do your thing. I understand you guys are frustrated, but don't be putting all that baggage out, it's unfortunate, these podcasts. I think we talked about it. I think someone on First Take talk about it too. Woody or someone was talking about, Micah Parsons, continuing to make those comments and, on his podcast when his team's not even winning. So I just don't think there's a place for it. I think, that's locker room stuff. Keep it in the locker room. Don't bring it out into your podcast. I know it's entertainment, but you're spilling some secrets. You're spilling that brotherhood, that confidentiality. It's not really confidentiality, but that confidence you have within those players. So
For sure. I guess ultimately it could be worse things that he's spilling the beans on, but you know, this in general obviously is you know, kind of a tough look, but you know, it's understandable and it makes a whole lot of sense as to why Steph played the way he did. And that was a really exciting game.
It
So,
was.
you know, no shame lost there. And you know, a guy who really lit it up for his team kind of leads us into maybe he's a good player to bet on, John. Let's move into a little bit of sports betting talk here. And the fact that it's becoming a lot more popular. I want to hear from you because I think that you play a little bit more than me. And I just kind of want to hear what apps you're liking and kind of the trends that you're catching on to with bets.
The apps I use, I play on three, so I did all the sign up bonuses where they doubled my money, so still playing with that original buy-in. But for me, it's Underdog, Prize Picks, and Sleeper a little bit, but Prize Pick, Underdog, my two go-to, and Underdog is my favorite one to play. I think the big thing is I like the in-game betting. Have had some luck with that. I've had a lot more bad luck, but good luck, and I've made some good money, but then I lose it all. But overall, I think that's the sports betting world. It's for me, I think it's one thing I wanted to talk about because there were some trends I saw. And when I was bringing it up and like thinking about like, oh, should we talk about this? I was like, some of the negativity I may say, we may lose any possible sponsorships from, these sports betting apps, but at the same time, I'm still betting even though I have these feelings. But I feel, how do I say that? I feel like someone's running the system and the gaming is sort of rigged. I've seen a few things that's just sort of throw me off. Sometimes, the lines that they put, they're so close, but like I said, I know they have algorithms. They have these insider secrets, but I think the one example I have is from last Wednesday. Me and Chris, we had the same bet, and one of the players we had in our on our prop bet was James Harden going over 22.5 points. And I did see that that was the most highest prop bet for that day. James Harden was the number one bet. Everybody was doing over 22.5. So it was a blowout loss, going into the fourth to the Rockets. But our team, the Clippers, we made it, got cut it to six, and still no James Harden at all in the fourth, no Norman Powell in the fourth, no, Zubac. And in my mind, we were three, I think it was 4 points away. I was like, we just need James Harden for a bit. We would have hit those props. James Harden's, he's going to shoot. So that's where I was sort of like, and I was talking to Chris, is like, this sometimes feels so rigged because why aren't you putting your top player in the fourth down six with still some good amount of time and just see if we can make something happen? And it makes me think, did Ty Lue get paid off? Did he get a call from Las Vegas like, hey, James Harden ain't going back in? We didn't have a back-to-back, so it's not like James Harden needed the rest. He could have still played, had his rest day the next day. So that's where I sort of have this feeling that sometimes it is rigged. We've seen the games, where refs do rig the games. We've seen it with the Chiefs a lot. I think we saw it with the Ravens a bit last week against the Bengals. Some plays were should have been called, didn't. But with sports betting, I think it's the risk you always do playing sports betting is you have to understand that if it's going to be really close, Vegas, these apps, they're the house. They're always going to make their money back, so they're going to find a way to rig it. And it's my little vice that I like to have to do. Don't really go too crazy, trying to bet my house and stuff, just with whatever money I got, spare money I'll put in every now and then, but still playing with the money I do got. So That's sort of how I feel about sports betting. Like I say, like you mentioned it, Tim, I probably do it a little bit more than you do. But how about you? What, you got any favorite apps? What do you feel about just this prop betting that we could do in California? Because we still can't do straight bets.
Yeah, I've been using Underdog mainly this past year. I've had some good success with it, but I play honestly $10 or less a bet. But I'll use like these crazy eight-legged, prop bet parlays where, the payout. I had one over this weekend that was going to be 600. Didn't hit the way I wanted it, obviously, or else I would have let everybody know about it. but the loss of $6 is $6 for me. But you mentioned a great thing. Play with, what you're comfortable with, not the money you need to pay for things. Changing the pocket type stuff. So, as long as you're smart with it, you can have a good time with it. Obviously, you're paying big attention to each and every factor that you have going, and you're paying attention to games you never thought you would. You're paying attention to players you never thought you would. So that's where it gets more interesting, and I kind of enjoy it. But the downsides of it are, you're thinking about what could have been. You mentioned you're relying on a player to play the fourth quarter. You're relying on a player who usually doesn't get a whole lot of playing time to come through and get you three catches in a game. I had part of my parlay, I think, was Davis Allen on the Rams, the Rams tight end, to get more than 2.5 catches, so three total. And it seemed doable because he had five the week before off of, I think, like seven or eight targets. Like, okay, yeah, if he does the same thing or even a little bit less, obviously we're chilling. Dude didn't catch a ball. So I don't even think he got a target the whole game. And that's just the way it goes. So you have to be smart with it. And I too kind of think about, certain scenarios. One guy who has burned the hell out of me is LaMelo Ball. And I take him on the points and I typically go over for him because it's, I'll bet like 25 and a half points. I'm like, okay, great. Yeah, he scored over 30 in four of his last five. And it's like, this dude's going to do it. I think one game he got me 24 points and I chose him over 25 and a half. He just needed a two-pointer, a dunk would have done it. And I think he was in the game with like 3 minutes left, and that's all he needed to do, but just didn't do it. Then there was another scenario with LaMelo where they were down by so much that they didn't even put him back in. And then I took the under on threes one time. They were down a ton, and I think it was 4.5 threes, and the dude hit his fifth late in the fourth. And I'm like, dude, son of a. So, and then you got to turn those players into like a do not use, in my opinion, because it's like you have bad luck with them. Like maybe you won't use Harden again. But I will say where I've had success with Harden is on assists. I rely on the assists, and that's done well for me there. But it's fun. But then there's of course the hazards to doing it, and people become very addicted to it, which is another point I wanted to bring up. Also with this, John, is through the advertising and how much popular podcasts advertising, NFL segment shows use it, NBA segment shows use it. As far as being addicted to this, they give out those warnings of if you become addicted, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or whatever the hotline is. I believe that's what it is. And even those ads, I feel like look like, but hey, play. And it's just they really want you in, and these places wouldn't really be a thing if they weren't earning. So clearly they're making out incredibly well because this is bigger than it's ever been. But I kind of want to get your opinion on that. Do you feel like it's kind of the same?
Yeah, I think they want people to get addicted. I think people start getting addicted once they start getting some of those wins. Like I say, and that's where you sort of have to, if you're doing this, for fun, enjoy those wins. Don't get too cocky because you're gonna lose it all quickly. You're gonna start betting $50, $80. You're like, oh, I got this now. I got four wins in a row. And that's what I think this is about. That's what how they get you. You get that high, that those endorphins saying like, okay, yeah, I can win. I know how to do it now. And like I say, it's all a lot of this is luck. Yes, there is some research you have to do, but I think that's the goal of these sports betting apps, and just sports betting in general. It's trying to get people addicted. I think they put it on there because they know once people start, there's going to be a lot of people that need that help, and I think it's just sort of their disclaimer that they probably have to do legally, like, hey, if you're going to play, if you get addicted, that's on you, but here's how to get some help. Once you start losing all your money, which we're not going to say no to, we're not going to give you the money back. We're going to take it. So I think it is the way, for me, like I said, I've been playing with the same amount of money. If I lose it all, I want to take a break until I know I have some spare funds to be able to go back in and try again. Like I said, I'm not doing this for a career. Those people that do this as a job to, make a living, kudos to them because I don't know how you do it because it is really hard. Like you mentioned, there's players I don't like to really play with anymore. But at the same time, I also understand like it's just the way it is because I'm not going to pick them the next week and then they're going to meet their. They're gonna go over, that you don't pick Harden the next one or LaMelo. You're gonna pick his under, and then he finally goes over, and you're like, fuck. Like, really? I should have just stuck with it. So it's a lot of risk, a lot of luck, just seeing how the games are because it is a game. But like I mentioned, is there some rigging to it? I think there is. Who knows? There might not be, and it's just pure coincidence, but the part about it being addicted, I think people do get addicted to it. I think that is their job. That's how they make their money, keep it going. But what about you, Tim?
I think about that often too, is, I almost feel like a lot of those big players in the game, I should say, of that kind of operate a business around earning off of these bets. I feel like they make more money from people buying into their programs and their Discord servers and things like that than they do on their actual bets. Sometimes I'm sure they're successful and they find like, they have these Excel programs or, analytics that go into it that make things maybe a little bit above 50% winning, if you can even do that these days. Sure. But I feel like they make more off of, what people buy into, as far as their company goes. So, it's, I don't think I could endure that stress. I think that sounds a little bit too wicked for me. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like it would just tick me off. I feel like I'd be super angry all the time trying to think about it. So yeah, it's interesting and it's something that can be become very addicted. And even those companies that supply people with picks can kind of feed off of that addiction. So, it's popular now until it's a there's a die off with it, and maybe a crazy class action lawsuit about if something ever comes out about something being rigged. So,
And like I said, I think that's what I'm very curious if it'll ever happen. I doubt it will because, like I said, I think Vegas is running a lot of this. And if you think about it, right, Vegas has been doing this for many years and has never really gotten in trouble for any of it. So until we see something, out there about this being rigged, people are still going to do it. People are going to do it for fun. Like I said, I do it for fun. I enjoy it. It reminds me of fantasy just with some money, trying to make a few extra bucks. Like I say, I don't think I'm gonna quit everything and do sports betting as a living because I'm just not that good at it, but I enjoy it. And I think the one thing I've enjoyed about it, and it's not really like the winning money is nice, it's cool, but I've enjoyed just being able to watch sports again, really looking at everything, enjoying those pastimes that I had, going to the bars, just watching games, watching them wherever I'm at, and just enjoying the game. Yeah, like, yeah, I have some players in it, but it's what I've enjoyed about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's fun and it kind of just fills in that void. Like, for example, we all play fantasy football, but fantasy basketball isn't really something, I've gotten into in a while, but prop bets kind of get us into it and it kind of has that same element like you mentioned and it gets you focused on players you wouldn't focus on otherwise. So, that's what makes it fun. And yeah, and I know you mentioned here, John, I'm very curious to see your Thursday night plans with prop bets coming up. What are you looking at as far as Thursday night bets come?
I have three players I'm looking at. One of them is someone I said I would never pick again, but I'm gonna pick. That's Najee Harris going over 63.5 yards rushing. I
Oh.
think, he plays well. The times I've been burnt, they haven't used him as much, but it's a division game. I think it's gonna be a really great game because they both need wins. So I have that. I have Russell Wilson right now. It was over 179.5 yards. I have him. I think he'll be able to get at least 200 yards easily. They don't throw much, but I think they'll do that. And then Njoku over 47.5. Like I say, Jameis Winston throwing a lot. It is a tough defense, but like I say, I think they will be playing from behind, and Njoku is their probably best receiver at the moment at tight end. So that's my three player prop bet I have for this week. Like I say, that's just based off what I've seen from these players, the teams. Like I say, I'm not a professional, but these are my takes for this week, and let's see if I get lucky.
For sure. I'll definitely preface that. Don't take my word for it with these bets. I don't win too often here, and I don't put a lot in the pot. But just going off of feels for things, I was kind of looking through a lot of these yardage situations. They're pretty low. I know Thursday night really isn't great for NFL altogether. But I do like Jerry Jeudy over 42 and a half rushing receiving yards. He went off this past week. I do also really like George Pickens for a receiving touchdown, as well as Russell Wilson. It's an over 0.5 passing touchdown day for him, and I'll take that. I think that he'll
That's a good
do it.
one.
So those three are pretty much what I'm looking at, and I think are great.
No, I think those three are pretty good too. Yeah, Russell Wilson should have one. Like I said, they don't throw too much, but it's the Browns. They're a decent defense, but they get scored on a lot. George Pickens, he's just had, since Russell Wilson took over in the last few weeks, he's just been that number one wide receiver for the Steelers. So I enjoy his game. And then the Browns, they, like I said, they're gonna be playing from behind, so they should be throwing a lot. So Jerry
Yeah,
Jeudy
definitely.
should be able to get his, yards. But like I say, I think we say that every week that we do like some of these small prop bets, like this looks great, this looks
Yep.
positive, and then it doesn't even happen. So like I
Absolutely.
said, it's a risk. Like we said, we're not professionals. We're just sharing our thoughts. We'll see how we do. If you want to run with us, run with us. But like I said, we're not guaranteeing you that we're winning. We bet very little. I don't bet too big at times because I just like to have fun with it.
I utter the complete exact same. I never put too
Yeah.
much in. Like I said, I'm 10 bucks or less a bet. So that's
Yeah.
what I play with.
No,
Keep it
for
easy.
sure. All right, so Tim had to head out. He had a little emergency that he had to take care of. So I'll finish off the episode today. One of our last topics we had was talking about F1 racing. This week is F1 in Las Vegas, which is a big event in the States. So I enjoy watching F1 racing. I'm not sure if Tim does. It was a question I had for him, but I'm curious what everybody else's thoughts are on F1 and just motorsports in general. With F1, and it being in Las Vegas, like I said, it's a big event. Las Vegas is the place to go for some of the biggest events in the world, sporting events. They have concerts, music, boxing, football, the Super Bowl. Now they're gonna have baseball there, the Oakland, or we'll see what they get called. If they're the Oakland A's, Las Vegas A's, we'll see what their name will be once they get over there. But with F1 in Las Vegas, some of the things I was gonna bring up to Tim and have a discussion about was the prices, to get into an F1 event nowadays, it's a lot less. But the first year, last year, tickets for the grandstand were 3K, and when you think about 3K, Yes, it's for 3 days, but that's still a lot of money for some normal people that, to go, because you're not just paying for grandstand tickets, you have to pay for a hotel. You're in Las Vegas. You have to pay for your travel because not many people live in Las Vegas that want to go watch this. And then you have to pay for food, all the events, everything else. There's so much going on. So, that 3K could add up to about 10 to 15K. And one of the like crazy things I heard last year was hotel prices just skyrocketing once F1 was announced and what weekend it was going to be. One example is the Excalibur Las Vegas. Not going to really talk down about it, because me, all my buddies, they all know we used to stay at that hotel very cheap, $20-$30 a night. We pick a weekend, just randomly go have fun, party out there. But for F1 weekend, they were having, some of the rooms up to $700. And when you think of Excalibur, not the best location, not a bad location, but quality of rooms for $700, that's just a lot for me. So I think this year I've heard, haven't really looked into it much, but I do hear there are a lot less. I saw they were selling single day tickets for about $99, but that's not even for race day. That's for practice sessions, and just to be a part of it. So F1 in Las Vegas, like I say, a very exciting, great event. If you haven't been watching F1, don't know much about F1, what I would suggest is go watch F1 Drive to Survive on Netflix. I think that is what really made F1 popular in the States again, to so many people. I think there were always some F1 fans, motorsport people that enjoy watching it, knew about F1, they know about the circuits, that's more worldwide than just in the US. But I think F1 Drive to Survive really brought a lot more eyes to that sport, which is one of the most expensive sports and also one of the most dangerous sports in the world. And I think looking at some of these prices, on how popular it is, I think that's why it's so expensive, because I have looked at prices in other countries, and for 3 days you could go to, I think it was Japan, and just pay $600 for 3 days. Now, yes, mind you, I have to pay for travel, I have to pay for a hotel, but that's the same thing you're going to pay everywhere. And it's a different culture, a different experience, which would be an awesome thing to experience. So, in the States, it is really pricey, but I think that's what always happens here in the United States. When things get popular, you just got to pay ridiculous amounts of money to go to those events. So, like I said, what I find interesting about F1 is just the racing, how fast they're going. Some of these race cars have top 234 miles. And when I think of that, I drive on the freeway. For any CHP officer, a law enforcement, I drive at the speed limit, and even at the speed limit, sometimes it goes really fast. And if I go a little bit above that, it's even faster. So only I could only imagine going triple that. The G forces you feel must be insane. And when if you watch F1 Drive to Survive, you see a lot of the exercise regimes that they have to do, how they have to work out their necks, those machines, because those G forces, it's turning their necks, and they have to keep it straight in a line to be able to see where they're driving. And those turns, the G forces you hit. So one of the most interesting sports I like to watch, because I do call it a sport because not everybody could do it. You have to have great reflexes, and it's just so fascinating to watch. One of the memories I have with F1 recently too, I've been watching it for a few years, but recently with the birth of my son Keanu, when he was born last year, when you have a newborn baby, most of the time there's a parent staying up late at night, watching the baby, making sure they're still breathing. I think it's a first time parent thing that you do. Feeding, changing every few hours. So there were nights that F1 was on, because here in California, you have to be up at like 4, 3 a.m. depending on where in the country the race is. So there were times that I was carrying Keanu, feeding him, changing him, and I just had F1 on the background. Very minimal to no volume because the wifey Vera was sleeping. But I think it's something he enjoyed, even though I didn't really think he was paying attention, because now that I put on F1, he really likes to watch it and he really enjoys cars. So for me, it is an experience. I hope one day I could take him, my wife, as a family, go experience either an F1 race or any type of motorsport, because even NASCAR, I enjoy NASCAR, the loops. Something about it, I just enjoy motor racing. IndyCar racing, that's more not F1 style looking cars, very different requirements. But that happens in the States, and they have one here in Long Beach, which I've been really trying to go to. I was thinking about taking Keanu this year, but I still think he's a little too young to understand and be able to enjoy the experience. And it's something, like I say, I want him to enjoy. I want to enjoy as well. I'm not just chasing him around all over the place, because he would just be running like crazy. So hope on my bucket list, of sports to go watch, a motor sport racing, hopefully F1, but I'll stick with IndyCar, NASCAR, anything like that. But let me, you guys, our listeners, let us know, do you guys enjoy motor sport racing? What is your favorite type of events? And what do you think about it? And if you haven't watched any motor sports, you know nothing about F1, I do highly recommend go watch a few episodes of F1 Drive to Survive. If you're not interested, turn it off. Don't worry about it. Don't remember I said this to you. But if you do enjoy it, really watch it, and then even try watching a race. Yes, some of you, depending on where you're living, you might have to get up really early to watch it or stay up really late to watch. But it is a fun thing to watch. I enjoy it, I would say the first few laps is where it always gets interesting, the start of the race, because that's where they're taking off. Where it might get a little dull for some people is like after the first few laps, if there's no touching, there's no crashes, because the packs are getting separated. But what's really cool is seeing the overtaking, the strategies of how they're making their turns, or they're taking a wider turn to try to take the shorter turn on the next, on the driver to just overtake them. Very interesting to see. And like I said, it's a lot of calculations. I have a few buddies that like to watch it. So really cool event. If you get a chance, I would recommend watch the Las Vegas event this weekend. It is one I'm gonna stay up for, because it does start at 10 p.m. Las Vegas time, I think. And like I say, it's under the lights. You get to see the whole strip, and just imagining being there, walking the strip, and just hearing those cars swishing by. It must be an awesome experience, but I'll still try to save my money until either I could find a way to get out there with a sponsorship, or I could just save enough money to go out to Vegas and enjoy that experience. But that's a little bit about F1. I wish Tim was here. We could have had a little bit more back and forth conversation, get his take on what he knows about F1, if he likes the sport, motorsports in general, and that, because I would say, if you look at me, I'm not probably the typical NASCAR fan, but like I said, I do enjoy watching NASCAR. Whenever I do get a chance, I'll watch it on TV if I'm home. So yeah, that's a little bit about motorsports. Like I say, please let me know what you guys think about motorsports, F1, IndyCar, NASCAR, motocross, all of that stuff. Very fun events, very fun activities to watch. I don't know if I'll ever do them, just because I'm a little scared to drive that fast, but let me know your thoughts. But I want to thank everybody for listening today. Thank you to all our, subscribers that continue coming back weekly to listen to us. We really appreciate it. We thank you guys. If you're our brand new listener, please hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, that bell, be alerted when we, put out new episodes, new clips, and always leave comments. Like we always say, we enjoy the engagement, good or bad. Let us know what you guys like. Let us know what you don't like. We're here to have fun, conversate, get to learn. For us, it's chit-chatting, having some fun banter with our drinks. And it's also getting to know you guys, getting to know our listeners. We'll bring on guests here every now and then and get to reconnect with some of them that we haven't probably talked to in a few weeks. And get to meet new people, have them teach us new things. It's what we're here to do. Like I said, we enjoy doing this. We enjoy doing this podcast. So please leave any topics you want us to talk about. Leave any feedback. Like I said, we'll continue conversations in the comment. Remember, you guys could watch us here on YouTube TV, or not YouTube TV. I wish we were on YouTube TV. On YouTube. And then on Apple Podcasts, our show's out there now every week as well. So you guys could listen to us on your car ride back home from work. We're in California. We hit traffic a lot, and you could probably listen to our whole episode during your car ride. So listen to us there as well. But thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We hope to, get some more great content out for you guys. Also, look out for us on our Twitch streaming channel on the weekends, where we just game it with buddies. Talk banter, have fun, and also talk about other subjects, things that are going on around the world. Sports is our big topic, but we'll talk about anything. So join us on Twitch as well. All our links, handles are in the description of this video and in our websites or on our social medias. So follow us there. But thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you guys later. Peace.